proceed with the next case, which is Jose Garcia versus John Ashcroft. Mr. Pfeiffer.
Good morning, Your Honor. May it please the court, counsel. I'm George Pfeiffer on behalf of the petitioner, Jose Luis Garcia. This matter comes up on appeal from the administrative decision of the BIA, affirming without opinion the immigration judge's ruling, finding my client removable, deportable, because of a conviction under the Controlled Substances Act.
Mr. Pfeiffer, have you had a chance to see our decision last week in Yanez Garcia?
Your Honor, the case I have from November 2nd, Yanez Garcia, and also consolidated with Mir Masak.
Right.
I had that.
Okay.
And I have read it, and I think it's very, I mean, it's almost identical to this case.
Right.
There are a couple of differences. One, unfortunately, Mr. Garcia was not a resident alien. However, which is a negative, however, on the positive side, he only had the one conviction, whereas I believe each of these petitioners...
Can you talk a little louder, please?
I'm sorry, Your Honor?
Can you talk a little louder?
I'm very sorry. My client only had one conviction, whereas I believe both Yanez Garcia and Masak had two convictions. So, on the one hand, that's a positive for my client. I guess, Your Honor, Justice Rovner, what you're getting to is, should the same outcome apply? Perhaps it should. Perhaps this would be more applicable in view of the court's recent ruling to send this to the district court for a petition for writ of habeas corpus.
Well, which district would we send this?
I would assume the Northern District of Illinois, Your Honor.
Okay.
That's where he is?
Well, that's where the case is.
All right. I don't know. I wasn't sure where your client was. Is he? Where is he?
Right now, I believe he's in the Northern District of Illinois.
You think so? I mean, that's important, you know.
Real important.
I understand, Your Honor. I believe he is in the Northern District of Illinois. I cannot actually state certainly, but I believe he is in the Northern District of Illinois.
He's not in anybody's custody, or
not that I know of.
Were you appointed for this?
No, Your Honor.
Uh-huh.
No.
I get your drift, but. Okay.
I would like to, if possible, go on a little bit further, though, in that, you know, this area of law, immigration, it seems to be changing all the time. It's hard to give advice to a client because Mr. Garcia pleaded guilty in 1988. At that time, it was not a removable, in those days it was called deportable, it was not a deportable offense to receive 1410, which would be the equivalent of first offender probation. In 1996, the law changed, and of course, aliens are not entitled to to have that as a bar, and so it reaches back. It's unfortunate that it's difficult to advise somebody. I'm sure that his attorney probably had said, don't worry. Even the judge probably said, this will not affect you. Now, of course, it has become a big problem. And
you
then
think
with
the judge probably said?
I don't have the transcript of that hearing.
I was just wondering.
But I was practicing actively in the Circuit Court of Cook County in the 1980s, and it was common practice for judges to actually tell defendants that this, don't worry, this will not affect you in any way. Now, of course, it's all changed. Now judges admonish a defendant just the opposite. We don't know what the effect will be. Of course, while Mr. Garcia's case was pending before the immigration judge, the first Yanez case came down, which found that As an aggravated felon, he was not eligible for voluntary departure, which is really all Mr. Garcia was seeking, just relief from removability so that he could get a voluntary departure and then come back into this country legally if he's able to meet those requirements. Right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Mr. Verby.
Good morning. May it please the Court. Russell Verby, on behalf of Attorney General John Ashcroft. The real issue before this Court is whether the Court actually has jurisdiction to hear this appeal. And that turns on whether the petitioner's conviction, his guilty plea for possession of cocaine, qualifies as a controlled substance offense under the immigration laws. And there's no question that this charged offense involved cocaine and it satisfies the controlled substance part of the equation. But the question really has to focus on whether this guilty plea, which was dismissed later on pursuant to an Illinois rehabilitative statute, still qualifies as a conviction for immigration purposes. The conviction is defined, or the term conviction is defined, by the Immigration Nationality Act. Several clauses in that particular definition. First is that there's a formal adjudication of guilt. We have that in this case. He was pronounced guilty, but it was dismissed later. That's where the second clause of the definition kicks in. That the alien enters a plea of guilty or the judge finds the alien guilty and then imposes a punishment of some sort. In this case, we have that. This alien pled guilty. The judge imposed probation on this alien. Therefore, it meets the definition of a conviction.
So what about Yanis Garcia?
If the alien has a statutory eligibility question, perhaps the district court is the place for it. But jurisdiction in this court is foreclosed by this own court's decision in Gill.
Okay, so perhaps you say.
Perhaps, Your Honor.
So this case is indistinguishable from Yanis Garcia.
Assuming that the petitioner's only prayer is that he's asking for a shot at voluntary departure because he didn't meet the aggravated felony standard, it seems to be a St. Cyr and Yanis decision. Yes, Your Honor.
But so as far shouldn't as we just, you know,
we should dismiss the case.
Transfer it to the district court?
I believe the proper procedure would be for this case to be actually dismissed by this court and let the petitioner file in the other court if he wants to. That way this court's jurisdiction is completely foreclosed and we don't have to have any continuing jurisdiction issues here in this court.
What happens in the meantime as far as the INS is concerned?
The INS, if this court, the DHS can remove the alien absent an order from a court. This court, since it has no jurisdiction, cannot impose any sort of stay. That would be up to the district court to impose some sort of stay to prevent the DHS from taking steps to execute the removal order.
So he'd have to get into district court right away then to do something.
If he can and persuade the district court that he meets the standard for a stay.
Well, yeah, I we're not even sure where he is. At least I'm not.
And I'm not in a position to answer on behalf of the DHS
well,
as to where he is.
But I guess the question in following Yanis Garcia is we just wash our hands of it and that's it?
I think the best the court can do, Your Honor, is to evaluate its own jurisdiction. The facts that trigger this court's jurisdiction don't exist in this case. The court's really only option is to dismiss. And the court can't impose any sort of stay because the court would have to have jurisdiction over the subject matter to impose a stay. Therefore, this person has to get to a district court and seek a district court stay if they want to actually apply for a discrete legal issue. If there are no further questions, the Attorney General simply asks that this court dismiss the petition for review.
Thank you.
Mr. Kirby? I'm sorry, Mr. Piper?
Just briefly in rebuttal.
Well, briefly, if this court were to dismiss it, would you be, or is your client prepared to try to get into district court and under whatever auspices and get a stay and pending this determination about whether or not it's qualifying felony? I don't know.
If this court were to dismiss my client's case, there may be a problem with him filing a petition in the district court. I've had some problems with communication in the last few weeks. I think for judicial economy, as done in the Yanis Garcia case of November 2nd by this court. In the issue, in the interest of judicial economy, it would seem more reasonable to send this directly to the Northern District of Illinois District Court, and then let that court decide the issue as to whether or not the underlying charge is a felony for immigration purposes. And I think that this court has already found that it is not the intent of Congress to have the BIA decide what is or is not a felony. I mean, it should be up to the district court to make that ruling.
But I suppose if it's at least theoretically transferred to the district court in the Northern District of Illinois, that at least is some forum for you or somebody to go in and make whatever assertions you're going to do, and one might include a stay. I really don't know what status is here with this person about being shipped out or what. Who's got him, and you really don't know where he is, and we're all sitting here wondering who gets him.
It's obviously it's a problem that I'm facing, right, that Mr. Garcia will be facing, but at least if this court were to send it, if this court were to do no worse for Mr. Garcia than send it to the Northern District of Illinois, there's an opportunity perhaps that he would be able to appear and on a petition for writ of habeas corpus. Whereas I think if this were just outright dismissed, then there would be no chance probably for Mr. Garcia, because he would probably then be sought and jailed and removed before there'd be any opportunity to protect his one chance at a voluntary departure.
And since this case is completely indistinguishable from Yanis Garcia and Masuk, we wouldn't be following our own precedent, would we?
No, Your Honor.
Thank you.
If there are no more questions, thank you very much.
Okay. Thanks. Case be taken under advisement.